The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. Hey guys, just a quick reminder, you are listening to the Elite Man Podcast. Throughout this episode, the word Giving Shy Guys Game Podcast may be referenced or referred to several times. These were just some of our earlier episodes, and I just wanted to remind you, you are still listening to the Elite Man Podcast. Okay guys, enjoy the show. On today's episode, episode number 23, entitled Getting Over a Breakup, we chat with dating coach, writer, and breakup specialist, Laura Yates. Those listening who don't really know Laura Yates, can you tell them about your background, what it is you do now, and how you kind of got into that?
So it is a bit of an unusual niche, I suppose, that I work in. But it was really as a result of my own experience. So I was coaching people before, but far more in the personal development and confidence areas. But the reason why I started doing work in the breakup niche is because, like most people my age, I've been through a couple of breakups in my life, but there was one that was very significant to me. It was a very significant relationship. And going through that breakup really floored me. And as I went through that experience and I witnessed the impact it had on me, good and bad impact, I really wanted to find a personal approach that could help other people through breakups, and something that really bridges the gap between, you know, your best mate who might only tell you what you want to hear or what you don't want to hear, and then just looking up articles on the internet where they might provide some very sound advice, but it's very difficult to then actually put that into practice when you're in the thick of going through the breakup and you're feeling so terrible. So I really wanted to create something that was more personal, a bit more coaching driven, and that carries you through the journey with that forward focus support. Breakups are something that we all go through in life, and they're part of life, and there are certainly worse things that can happen to us. But if we don't deal with all the emotions that come up as a result of them, which is what often happens, they can really fester within us and stay with us, which is why so often the same problems can occur with every relationship we go into. They can create these patterns that we're almost not sure why these same problems keep happening. And I know I've experienced that myself in my past as well. So, and I was writing about my breakup. I was writing about it quite honestly and openly. And quite a few people reached out to me, men and women, asking if I did coach in this specific area. So I decided to really to gear my coaching towards that, towards helping people work through their breakup, through their emotions, helping them to rebuild their confidence and their self-esteem, and really be able to use the breakup as a catalyst for bigger change and growth in their life as a whole.
Great. And how long ago was that really bad breakup that you had, and how long did it take to really get over it, would you say?
Sure. I mean, that happened about 18 months ago. And, you know, it's taken me a good year, I think, to really get over that properly. And I mean, it was a very difficult one for me because I thought I was going to marry this guy, and we had a lot planned out. And I was actually the one who ended the relationship, which I didn't want, but I knew deep down after a long time of ignoring it that my own values were being compromised. And it got to a point for both of us where it just becomes so much more hard work than it should. You know, I mean, relationships are all about compromise, but there does come a point where if they become more hard work than not, then there's something wrong there. And like I said, it was hard because I really loved this man, and I didn't want to not be with him, but I knew that it couldn't go on. And I was 31 when that happened. And we had the vision of getting married and starting a family and all of that stuff. And so to put yourself in that position where you're single again, and particularly when a lot of your friends are married with families, it can be really daunting, because relationships do shape our lives. And so when they change, they can end everything. And I suppose the way in which I navigated myself through that journey and really getting over it, I learned such a lot about myself. I learned a lot about relationships, and all the emotions that can come along with going through a breakup. And I was fortunate, because I was already coaching, I suppose I had that extra awareness to help carry me through. And I really was looking at what I was doing that was helping and what I was doing that wasn't so much. And I'm just really thankful now, because something really fantastic came out of it. Because of that experience, it now allows me to help other people. And it also forced me to grow in ways that I never thought possible, even in a year. But I think what I also realize is that it's always very easy to blame the other person or use them as the sole reason why the relationship isn't working. And part of going through a breakup is acknowledging what you need to work on too. It's even if you feel you were treated very badly, or there was a lot of wrongdoing or cheating going on, you still have to take responsibility for your own stuff as well, and not become a victim to all of that. So I just wanted to create something for other people that embodied all of my learnings along with my existing coaching skills, really.
Great. I was kind of actually surprised to hear that you were the one who broke up with the guy, because I kind of had the picture in my head that, getting over the breakup and everything, like you'd be the one who were broken up with or whatever. But it's very interesting, because oftentimes it can actually be just as hard, if not harder, in ways to be the one who breaks up with somebody. And do you have any tips for, like, I guess you could say, like, the right way to break up with someone, or like maybe some signals? Like, you kind of mentioned a few already, but like some signals beforehand to know like what the right way to do it is, or like when the time is right. Do you have any advice on that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, what you were saying about that I was broken up with, that I did the breaking up and you were surprised by that. It was very much a case of I felt I was fighting for the relationship a lot more than he was. And I really loved him a lot. And it just got to the point where I knew something had to give, and I really didn't want it to happen. So I think I still felt almost in a way like I had been broken up with. That was particularly difficult. It was kind of hard to get my head around that. But I think when you feel like your values, your needs, your wants are not being met, and if it is something you've really tried to communicate before and you're still coming up against the same problems time and time again, then I think that's a big indication that something isn't quite right. In terms of, I suppose, there is never going to be the best way to break up with someone. It's never going to be a nice conversation to have. But I think there are things you can do that are going to lend themselves to it being a little bit more, not a better experience, but easier. And I think you just have to be honest. You have to be calm. And you have to be mindful of how the other person is going to feel. But you also have to be direct. Because if you skirt around it too much, it just makes the whole ordeal so much more of a challenge. And it just needs to be said. So you need to show that you're serious about it. So before you do break up with them, you really need to make sure that it is absolutely what you want. And I think to try and just stay as calm as possible, and don't go in attacking them or reeling off a big list of why you feel that they're failing you. It's more about phrasing it in a way that you're expressing of how the relationship is going, or events that have happened in the relationship just aren't serving you. It's something that isn't right, that you feel that your values and wants and needs are being compromised. And you can give examples too to back that up, and just express that it does make you feel sad too, but the relationship just isn't evolving into something that's right for you. And I think ideally you want to be able to leave that conversation quite quickly once it's been said, just to give you both that space and to avoid it going round and round in circles or resulting in a horrible argument.
Good. I think those are all great tips. And And how do you, what's your advice for actually getting over a breakup? Because even if you are the person breaking up with somebody, or whether you're being broken up with, you're going to have to deal with it some way. So what's the best approach for that?
I think it really does depend on the individual themselves, but there are definitely a few key steps, I think, that apply to both men and women. And I think the first one is just to, you know what, just to allow yourself to feel crap, because which does sound unhelpful, as what we want to do is we want to feel better. But actually, just by giving ourselves permission to feel bad, to feel sad, to feel angry and hurt and all of those things, which we're more tempted to just push down and ignore. But it just means you're almost preempting it, and you'll be better equipped mentally to deal with all of those things. And you have to treat, it's almost like you have to treat your emotions like you would a physical injury. So if you break your leg, you know that you can't walk on it. You know that you can't run on it. You know that it needs a certain amount of time to heal. You know there's certain things you need to do in order for your leg to heal. And emotions are the same, really, because they still, if we don't allow them to heal in the right way, there's still that long-term damage. So I think, yeah, just knowing, just being prepared for the fact that you are going to feel bad for a period of time is the first step. I think the second thing is to make sure that you're making an effort to look after your physical health, because if you're not physically strong or physically feeling good, then you're not going to be able to cope emotionally. We're so much better able to cope with our emotions when we're in a stronger place physically. So it's not about, you know, radical changes or lifestyle overhauls, even just small things like being mindful of what you're eating, making sure that you're not eating food that's packed with sugar, or that you're drinking too much alcohol or caffeine, because all of these things can make our minds more erratic, which doesn't help with all the emotional turmoil that we're going through at that time as well. Making sure that you're just getting outside and you're not staying, you know, you're not holding yourself up too much and staying in hibernation. Just getting outside, getting some vitamin D, going for a walk every day, and doing what you can to get enough sleep. So just be mindful of those three things. It kind of sounds very boring, boring but important. And yeah, as I say, it doesn't really involve huge radical changes. But the stronger you are physically, the better you will feel. And I think for men particularly as well, this is quite a good coping mechanism, because it's, you know, if they want to hit up the gym or, you know, pump some weights, that's a really good way to release up all of those, that pent up anger or emotions. It's a really good way to channel it. I think, yeah, the next thing is just to have a support network around you. So even if it's just one, two, three people that you can trust, and that people who are going to make you feel good. And spending too much time alone and with your own thoughts can cause us to dwell and to ruminate, and sometimes go into victim mentality. And we don't want to be spending too long in that phase. So you do need to spend time on your own when you, the first stages of a breakup, I think, but doing that too long can then have quite a bad effect. And so it's important that we're spending time around people who make us feel good, and yeah, who are going to help us see us through the hard time, really. And then the next thing I would suggest is start to create new habits and new memories. So bit by bit, again, nothing radical, but start to introduce new positive habits into your day. Do things differently than you did when you were in the relationship. Don't go to the same places, and make plans with friends to try out new places. Get things in the diary, create positive distractions, because the more newness that you can start to bring into your life, the more your life will start to fill up again with you as an individual. And the less tempted you'll be to dwell on the breakup, dwell on what your ex is doing. Because if nothing changes in your life, then the void of the other person not being there will seem even worse. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, the final one is to set goals. So set goals that make you feel like you're aiming for something. You can use the breakup as an opportunity to reevaluate other things going on in your life. So use it as an opportunity to take stock. And this situation might feel like the worst possible thing that could happen to you right now, but it does provide opportunity to think about what you want from here. So I think a lot of people who I work with anyway, what they find is that they come out of this breakup and they don't really know who they are, because sometimes when we get into a relationship, we can lose our sense of identity. We become a unit as a couple rather than an individual. So when we come out of it, it's like, oh, well, I don't really know what I'm about anymore. So it's helping people. So what I do is I help people re-engage with their passions, with their interests, and start to rebuild their lives in that way. You know, maybe you're keen to change jobs or career, or do you want to get fit or reevaluate your lifestyle? I think just setting these goals that you can work at over a period of time to create that positive distraction, doing things for you that can give you a real positive boost and make you feel like you've got something to aim for. I think that's a really good coping mechanism as well. And only positive stuff can come out of that. So yeah, I'd say that they're probably the top things. There are lots of things in between that you can do as well. But again, it really depends on the individual and where they're at.
Great. How soon after a breakup do you recommend somebody start like dating again?
I think, yeah, with this one, I think that you need to give yourself time to, like I mentioned before, to really figure out who you are as an individual. And I always say that the best time to go back into dating is when you feel really content with your life and you almost feel like you're too busy because you've got some great stuff going on. You know, you're going out, you're engaging in your interests and passions, you're seeing friends, you're being very sociable. And that's a great time to be, from a headspace point of view, to get back into dating. What you don't want to do is go back into it with the view that you're being very outcome dependent. You're looking at it as a way to fill a void of your ex or the relationship. I would never say completely cut yourself off from dating, because after all, it takes a while to go from dating to being in a relationship. It's more about being open to having new experiences with different people, and that's great. So even if you're a few weeks or a couple of months out of a breakup and you perhaps don't feel ready to date, but you meet someone and you have a bit of a connection and they maybe ask you out for coffee or for a drink, and there's no reason why you can't do that, because you have full control over how long you date for, when you want to get into another relationship. I think it's just being in the right headspace for dating and not being too outcome dependent and, yeah, not looking at it to fill a gap, but something else that's missing in your life.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's almost like a lot of people kind of do the opposite, though. They want to jump in and fill that void or whatever, and then they end up getting stuck in another relationship, and it's just kind of like snowball effect. They just kind of keep having like one thing after another, one bad relationship after another, and they're never really satisfied and never happy with themselves because they keep doing this to themselves. So
absolutely, yeah, it's like what I was going back to what I was saying at the beginning, where when you don't really deal with that stuff and you don't take the time to rebuild yourself, rebuild your life as an individual, that's when the same problems can occur with either people you're dating or relationships that you're getting into. So it is important just to take that time out, just to bring the focus back to you, really.
Yeah. Laura, you coach both men and women. Do you see any difference in how men and women react to breakups?
Yeah, there are some differences. With men, I think the main thing is that men really tend to push their feelings down. They push their feelings down. They have this mentality. They've got to get on with life, put on a front, and convince themselves actually that they're okay, and try to ignore what they're feeling, because I think they feel that that's the most masculine thing to do, which is absolutely understandable. And these emotions can be difficult to experience and face head on. And I think with men as well, they can then really get left with these very negative attitudes towards relationships, and also women sometimes, because they haven't got a handle on what it is that they're actually feeling. And I do, you know, I get a lot of female clients say to me, and a lot of female friends, and it's something that I've experienced, that they're dating men who initially seem great and really together, and then all of a sudden they freak out and disappear, and it becomes clear that these guys are very emotionally unavailable or detached, because they haven't actually dealt with the stuff that really needs to be dealt with. And so often guys don't even realize this, and that's why they can't give us the answers that as women we always want, because we always want answers. because they're not even aware that they haven't really dealt with the emotions and feelings and attitudes. Yeah, so that's what I really work with guys on. Whereas women, you know, I don't want to be slating the men here. You know, women, we grow on the other end of the scale. So we tend to really dwell and ruminate on everything about the ex. We get very ex-obsessed. We become obsessed with what they're doing on social media. And everything becomes about the ex, the breakup and the relationship. And that's not helpful either. So women get very... they get very hurt and very focused on that feeling of rejection. And we get those negative attitudes too. You know, I hear so many women say, well, all men are the same, and I'm only going to get hurt, and I'm never going to be able to find anyone. We take things very personally, and carry a lot of blame. So with women, when I work with women, it's much more about still straight talking, but a bit more of a nurturing approach and helping them to see the true reality of the breakup, and encourage them to take quite an objective view at what went wrong, so that they get a clearer view of what actually happened and what that means for them moving forwards. And I think with men, I can be a lot more straight talking. Men really like honest feedback, even if it's brutally honest. If they come to me for coaching, they're at a point where they're ready, which is great. And so they like very practical and measurable goals, which is a great way to coach somebody. And with the emotional stuff with men too, you know, I really find it's great how open a lot of guys are to then really to then work on the emotional things that are going on. And, you know, when I say to them things like, well, try writing down how you feel, and which would probably seem alien to a lot of guys, but they really give it a go. They put it into action and usually see the benefits. And I think really for men as well, it's just a relief for them to have permission to express everything and permission to feel what they're feeling and know that that's okay. And so they often go away from that first session feeling like a weight has been lifted, even if it's just been getting off their chest everything that they've gone through and what they're feeling. And that in itself is a huge step.
I feel like guys do kind of hold like emotions in a lot, and it certainly seems better in a sense that women are more emotional and that they're able to like talk through things and kind of absorb all their feelings and go with it. So even, you know, maybe right after a breakup, they might be a little more dramatic or a little more hurt by the breakup than say a guy would. But on the other hand, it's actually really good because they let it all out, I feel like, and they don't really hold things in. Whereas guys kind of have like that passive aggressive approach where like they keep it in and then it's going to come out eventually at some point. But by the time it comes out, it's just kind of built itself up even more and more. But on the other hand, women kind of let it go.
Absolutely, that's very true. And that's that, like I was saying before, that's why women, we sometimes experience this, that we date men and they seem great, and then it's clear that they're very emotionally detached, or that there's stuff going on there, and that's what leads them to run away or to freak out or to just disappear. So whereas women, they go, it's very true what you said, we are more able to talk about it and to release all of that stuff. But what we do is we go over it and over it and over it and over it, which sometimes that's not helpful either.
So
it's just for both, for men and women, it's just finding that correct balance for each.
All right, guys, I think it's the perfect time to take a quick break from the episode to remind you to subscribe to our show. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right, get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting episodes. Subscribe now and get all of the Elite Man podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. Okay, guys, back to the episode now.
Laura, can you apply any of what you've learned or what you teach now about rejection, getting over rejection, to just life's rejections in general, like any part of like everyday rejection that people face?
Yes, definitely. I mean, I think... I think the best way to handle rejection in whatever form it takes is to almost look at it from the facts. So look at it quite objectively. So as a personal example, I recently got quote unquote rejected by a guy that I was dating. But actually this was really far more about him than it was me. And he did make that very clear, which was nice of him. but I could have still spent weeks fretting over the fact that I wasn't good enough for him, or analyzing what I did or didn't do that made him back away, which is what I would have done a few years ago. But actually it wasn't anything to do with me, and it was just where he was at. And with romantic rejection, it really is about the match of the two people. It's about the timing. It's about what the other person is looking for. And if you don't quite fit that, it's not because you're not good enough or insufficient. It's just about what they want and need at that time. I think a really useful tip when with any rejection, particularly in dating or relationships, is to flip it on its head and think back to a time when perhaps you rejected someone, and it was probably just down to you perhaps not vibing with them, not connecting with them, not because you thought that they weren't good enough. And you'd probably be horrified to think that they would be sitting there for weeks or months on end feeling rejected because of that one experience with you. So when it comes to rejection, we tend to make it all about us. So it's it's having a bit of a word with yourself, and I'm really looking at the bigger picture. And I think for rejection in, say a job, career, say you went for a job and you didn't get it. Well, again, that's going to be more down to the other candidate having a certain skill set or experience that you perhaps don't have yet. It's not a personal attack. And if it is a job and you're given a reason or feedback, which is what often happens, which is great, well, that's really helpful and you can work on that. So it's just about not dwelling and focusing on what you can do now. And even with romantic rejection, if it is the case that you're getting the same bit of feedback, so maybe you're dating, you've been consistently dating, and the common comment has been that you come on too strong, or that you're too needy, or that you are the other end of the scale and you're too busy and you're too unavailable, and the people you're dating or in relationships with get sick of that. Well, they're all things that you probably need to work on in order to have a good relationship. So it's important to take responsibility if it is something that you know you need to change. I think if you are struggling, it helps to write things down and write down the actual facts. And then look at it and think, well, is this circumstantial and more about the other person or the situation? Or, well, what can I do moving forwards that will prevent this happening again? It's the key is just to not spend time going over it and over it and over it and analysing it, because then you start to make things up in your head. And that's when all the negative self-talk can come in, and that's not going to do you any favours at all.
Great.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and like you said, it's something that everyone has to deal with, and it basically makes you stronger. And if you think about it just kind of as like a learning experience rather than, you know, something that's harmful or hurtful to you, obviously it's going to hurt. Like you said, it takes time to recover from it. But if you kind of just change your perspective on it and actually look at it in like a positive light, it's definitely something you can learn from and grow from. And it only makes you stronger at the end of the day.
Definitely. And the more you put yourself out there to potentially be rejected, the more experiences that you have, the more resilient you come to it as well. You become to it. So you just learn to deal with it better.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So Laura, what does your coaching consist of? Is it, in person, is it online, both, or, you know, like what's your coaching actually look like when you work with a client?
I offer both. So I work one-on-one with people, which can be done in person if they're in London, or via Skype, which is great because I get to work with people all over the world. And I'm also about to introduce in-person workshops where I'll be talking through getting through breakups, getting back into dating, handling rejection, the importance of being happy with yourself and your own life, and the steps you can take to make that happen. So that's all happening in the summer, which is exciting. And I'm also part of a couple of other coaching ventures, one of which is called Come Coach With Me here in the UK, which was founded by a guy here called Jeff Brazier. And that team, there's a whole range of coaches who specialize in different areas, and that's all virtual coaching. And the aim of that is to really make more coaching more mainstream, particularly here in the UK, and to make it accessible. So there's a range of coaches with different price points. So that's really exciting. And then I'm working with a company that's just launched today, actually, and they're based in Los Angeles, and that's called Mend. And that's offering virtual coaching for men and women, specifically around breakups and heartbreak. And that very much entwines a mind, body, soul approach to the recovery process. And what we're doing is we're running, we do a virtual coaching one-on-one, and we're running a series of online classes and workshops that you can attend from the comfort of your laptop at home, and you can join from anywhere in the world. So that's cool. And some of those classes is going to be specifically for men as well. There's all different ways to access what I do.
Cool. Sounds like a really cool idea.
Thank you.
The last thing you said about the laptop, sit on your couch comfortably and get some free, but great, breakup advice.
Definitely,
confidence advice, relationship advice, which kind of brings me into my next point. I know you coach a lot of the confidence and stuff like that, but what does that look like? Do you do relationships as well?
I do, so I coach in getting back into dating, people who are already in relationships and confidence, and what I do find so often actually is that most people come to me, they've gone through a breakup, but then what we unravel are far more deep-rooted things going on that stem from a lack of confidence or a lack of fulfillment in their life in some way. Confidence is a big one that I work with people on, particularly coming out of a breakup. Your confidence can take a real kick in. So I work with people to build themselves up again on that through many different ways. But usually it's a much bigger picture when we really start to break it down.
Cool.
Yeah.
And how have you built up your confidence personally over the years? Is it just from experiences as well, or is it something else?
It's been a huge one for me. I've really suffered with a lack of confidence at various points in life. And that's why I love coaching and working with people on confidence so much, because I totally get it. A big one for me actually was really getting over the fear of what people thought of me, and not having the confidence to really go for what it was that I wanted. And it really held me back. And it took me quite a long time to find what it is that I really want to do, to feel truly fulfilled in what I'm doing with my life. So when I found coaching and helping other people through that instilled confidence in me, because it was something that I felt very passionate about and something that I felt I was good at. So a big part of really harnessing my confidence has just been acknowledging my strengths. I always used to focus on the things that I couldn't do instead of all the things I could do and all the successes that I was having. And as a naturally shy person as well, I've constantly had to push myself out of comfort zones, which is a big part of it. And I still do. And every time I do, my confidence just etches up a bit more. And I mean, honestly, if I could find my confidence, anyone can. I'm serious. So, in terms of how I teach it, I firstly like to get clients just to make a list of all their strengths, everything they can think of, which they find very, very difficult. But then once we get into it, they really enjoy it. And it's always a surprise to them, all these things that they're listing. And it's a very simple but very effective exercise, because it isn't something that we ever do. We don't sit there and think, God, aren't we brilliant? Aren't we fabulous? Look at all these things I can do. We focus on what we think we lack and what we can't do. So we do that. And then what I get people to do is to really define what confidence means to them. So confidence is so broad. It can come in many different forms. So it's really unpacking what they think their life would look like, and more importantly, what they would feel like if they had more confidence. So what would it enable them to do that they're not doing now? Would it be them being more sociable and more comfortable around people, being able to have more interesting and engaging conversations? Or is it being more competent at work, more financially secure, more carefree and able to have fun, more able to approach women or men? And so then once we get to the core of that, it's so much easier to work out what the steps need to be taken to get there. You know, people say, oh, I want to be more confident, but that's so broad and it needs to be broken down far more with that. And so that's what I help with. And often it's actually about making their life a lot more interesting to them, a lot more social, and with them feeling like they have something to aim for that gives them a sense of purpose and that's going to allow them to grow and evolve as a person. Because confidence is all about pushing yourself, about growing. A lot of people I work with, their lives seem to feel very stagnant. So it's about introducing new things into their life that are going to be more aligned to them building their confidence.
What's your best success story thus far? Like, who was the number one client who just kind of blew you out of the water with like his transformation when he came to you, or he or she, I should say?
Yeah, it's a he. It's a guy. He's fantastic. So I've been working with a young guy. He's 22 years old. And when he came to me, he was really struggling to get over this one experience with a girl that he just got so fixated on the experience and the girl. And it was a really unfortunate situation for him, as it was something that was completely beyond his control. But he was looking at it. He was very much blaming himself and talking himself down, and he built it all up so much. But when we started working together, what came out of that was actually that his life was quite unfulfilling for him. He is shy and he is an introvert, and he found it incredibly difficult to interact with people. So he was spending a lot of time on his own, and that is when we then focus on all the bad things that have happened to us. We haven't got a lot of other stuff going on in our life. So he had quite strong negative views about women and what women want from men. And himself, he isn't a lad's lad, as we say here in the UK.
What's that?
it's just kind of like a bloke, you know, a real blokey bloke, maybe. I don't know what you'd say in America, but you know, just the guy's guy.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. And that frustrated him, because he didn't want to be that. He didn't want to be a lad, but he thought that was the reason why he was having these bad experiences, particularly with women. So we looked at ways in which he could bring new experiences into his life that are far more aligned to what he's about. So what he's interested in, what his passions are. And there was a lot there. He loves film. He loves rugby. He loves sport. He loves, broadcast journalism. There's all kinds of things he was into. So we started looking at ways we could introduce those into his week more. And we also worked on how he could relax more and learn to have fun. You know, he's 22 years old. He wasn't going out and having any fun or mixing with people of his age. And how he could let go of things that he was really dwelling over. And just through working with him over the past couple of months, now every time I see him, he's just growing every time, and you see it in his stature and the way he holds himself. I've worked a lot with him on his career stuff actually, and now he's going for jobs at magazines in a field that he absolutely loves. He's really embracing the non-lad side to him and using that to his advantage, and with figuring out for him how that will be an advantage when it comes to women as well. He's out and about more. He's trying new sports, and doing all of that is making him fixate far less on all of these past experiences. And it's just been so amazing to see him thrive, because he really deserves it. He's a really good guy, and he's just so much more chilled out and happy. It's fantastic when you see people progress like that in such a short space of time. Actually, I mean, that in a couple of months is pretty good going.
Yeah, that's impressive. And like you said, it just makes you feel like so good as a coach, knowing that you can kind of help people like that, and just seeing them change before your before your very eyes.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think, you know, a lot of clients say, oh, this is, you know, it's amazing how I've worked with you. And it's just making them acknowledge, well, actually, you're the one doing the work. I'm just here to ask you the right questions and to just push you that little bit further. But they're the ones doing the work. So, and when they get their head around that as well, it just propels them even more into, okay, well, if I can do this, I can do more. So, and that's brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially knowing like that they're the one that's making the changes for themselves. Like, it's not you doing it for them. It kind of gives them that confidence that, yeah, I can do this. I can actually make changes for myself and do other things in life that pop up and get over them as well.
Definitely.
So that's great. What's your number one tip for shy guys? I know you are a self-proclaimed shy girl. You're kind of familiar with being the introvert. So you have a good perspective on this. What do you recommend for shy guys?
I think it's not thinking that you need a personality transplant and thinking that you need to turn into this, you know, extrovert, overly confident person. You don't need to change who you are. You need to embrace the qualities that come with being shy and being an introvert, because there are many qualities. But what you do need to do is take proactive steps to get to where you want to be. It is scary, but you have to do it. You have to push yourself out of comfort zones bit by bit. Don't overwhelm yourself. Just do things, just take small steps. Every time you feel you want to do something and you feel that urge, but your shyness is holding you back, don't just accept that as so. Think about what is one small step that I could take to get me on the path to doing that thing. So, for example, for me, public speaking is a bit of a fear. Speaking is something that I really want to do more of. I want to get good at it for my work and business and to share what I do with more people, but more so really for myself. And it's just something that I know it's a challenge that I want to overcome. And the only way I'm going to do that, even though it's scary, is just by doing it, but by starting small, finding my own style, and just getting out there and doing it. And so, you know, that's why I've booked in a series of small workshops that are going to build up to bigger audiences, because I know that that's what I need to do. And also, don't be afraid to mess up. Even the most confident, accomplished people in the world mess up. And it's good because it helps you to figure out what you need to do to improve. I think doing nothing keeps you exactly the same. I've been there, and it's not a good place to be. But taking small but consistent steps. So I think that's probably the best words of advice I can offer on that.
Great. It's really helpful advice, Laura. Is there any last takeaway message? It's been such a great interview so far. A lot of great advice from you, a lot of great tips. But is there anything else you'd like to leave our listeners?
Thank you. Just that I think coaching can be so valuable when you, just the power of coaching, really, it can be so valuable when you have a challenge that you really want to overcome, whether this is coming through a breakup or confidence or in dating, anything. And I mean, I'm not plugging myself though. It doesn't have to be me. It's important that you find a coach or mentor that you really feel you connect with. But it can be so valuable and such a good investment in yourself, because coaches can really provide those perspective shifts and that kind of goal-orientated support that gets you where you want to be. And I think, you know, making improvements to yourself, asking for help, reaching out to someone shows a lot of strength in character. And I think one thing is, it's just, it's never too late to make changes. I've worked with guys in their 50s, which I'm not suggesting that's old, but just to demonstrate that it's never too late to work on stuff and really see the benefit of it. Am I allowed to plug my own website if anyone wants to look at it?
Absolutely. I was just going to say, where can our listeners find more about
you? And that's the English in me, being polite. So my website is laurayates.org. And that's LAURAYATES.ORG. And my Twitter is @LauraYatesUK. And my Facebook page is facebook.com/Laura.Yates. So yeah, that's where people can find out more about me, and on my blog and all of that stuff. So
great.
Yeah.
Again, guys, it's laurayates.org. She's got her Twitter handle. She's on Facebook. If you have any breakup issues, any confidence issues, even relationship issues, definitely check out Laura Yates. She's really one of the best, I'd say, up and coming or new even dating coaches and breakup specialists in the world. She really has some great content out there, guys. So please check her out. Laura, thanks so much for coming on our show. It's really been great having you on.
Thank you, Justin. It's been brilliant. And there's some great questions, actually. It's been really good. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for coming on. I know our guys are really going to like this one. And might have to do a part two in the near future if you'd like to come back on again.
Absolutely. I'd love to. Definitely. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Laura. Take care.
And you, Justin. Take care.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right, get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting shows. Subscribe now and get the Elite Man podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. All right, guys, that's it. Until next time, take care.